This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Constellation Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Green Bay to Greensboro, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big show coming up for you today. We've got Solomon Wilcott, who will join us from Pro Football Focus, former NFL defensive player, defensive back, former analyst for the NFL on CBS. We will talk to Solomon coming up 1 hour from now. Also, on a Wednesday, we give you a champ and a chump. I'll do that coming up at hour number two. Champ and chump coming up here. Also, we've got this morning the story about the Astros. What to make of the Houston Astros after an investigation unveils that they were tipping pitches using a very diverse series of arm mechanisms to let the batter know what pitch was coming. We'll talk about the Chicago Bears and a deep dive into how they evaluated drafting Mitchell Trubisky and whether that was a mistake. And Colin Kaepernick has an NFL-sanctioned workout. What to make of all of that? So that's coming up this morning on the show. As always, you can drop on by via the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. But let's begin with your college football playoff rankings, boys and girls, where LSU is number one, and they should be with a bullet after their impressive performance in Tuscaloosa on Saturday. That drops Ohio State to number two. I've got absolutely no problem with this one versus two and where they slotted these two teams. This is the way I would do it as well. LSU has the best victory in college football this season. They've got a quarterback that just went to Tuscaloosa and did something that no quarterback does. They are undefeated. They have quality wins. They're right now playing their best football. LSU deserves to be number one. Ohio State deserves to be number two. And I would have had the Buckeyes likely at number one before that versus LSU or against an LSU resume. But after the Bayou Bengals get that win in Saturday's big game of the century, you got to push them up to number one, Ohio State to number two. Clemson, the easy number three there. And if you've been listening to the show this season, you know what I've said. Ignore Clemson at your own risk. I know the ACC is down. I know that 1 point win over North Carolina leaves you wondering what's going on with the Tigers. I know that Trevor Lawrence hasn't been nearly as dominant as we thought coming into the season. But right now, I think you see Clemson is a powerful team, an undefeated team, and a team that has won two national championships in the last handful of years, gone to three national championship games, And when push comes to shove, they've played great football when it matters in the playoffs. So you cannot keep them out if they are an undefeated ACC champion, obviously, no matter how bad the conference is. And I think a lot of that simply has to do with boredom in the ACC. There's no games to get up for. So that brings us to the very controversial number four. And the committee last night put Georgia at four. They said the Bulldogs are the best one-loss team. Now, let's face it. Georgia has one of the worst losses out of the one-loss teams. In fact, Georgia probably has the worst loss out of the one-loss teams. The fact that the Bulldogs lost at home to South Carolina, at home to a team like the Gamecocks, is way worse than Alabama losing to LSU, obviously. It's way worse than Oregon losing to Auburn on a neutral site. It's way worse than Penn State losing to Minnesota on Saturday. It's way worse than most, if not all, of the other one-loss teams. But Georgia also has more quality victories than those other teams. Georgia has quality wins over decent teams that are in the top 15 or the top 20. Georgia beat Florida in Jacksonville. Florida's number 11. Georgia beat Notre Dame this season. Notre Dame's number 16. Georgia has those types of resume building victories, even if they have a terrible loss. Alabama doesn't. Alabama does not. And herein lies the problem with putting Alabama at number five. You've put them ahead of Oregon. You've put them ahead of Utah. You've put them ahead of undefeated Minnesota. You've put them ahead of one-loss Penn State and Oklahoma. Here is the issue with that. That Alabama might have a good loss, but they don't have a good win. Did Alabama deserve to be number five? It is where we begin your cold open.
Obviously, as we've talked about on here, we have great resources to watch the games, right? We can watch them live on TV, but we also have iPads issued to us by the staff. And so we're able to consume these games, whether you want to watch it from a coach's film or whether you want to watch a TV broadcast with all the commercials cut out. So the first priority is to make sure that you watch all the games because that's a big piece of this, and every member does watch the games. We also have access to a database with all sorts of information. So, but it is up to each committee member to bring their thoughts and opinions from what they see when they watch the games, but also how they evaluate the teams based on the schedule that they played and based on the data that they observe.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Rob Mullen, he is the director of the college football playoff. Here's the deal with Alabama. If they don't have Alabama on the side of their helmet, if they don't have Alabama on their jersey, if they don't have Alabama as their team name, as their program's history, as the lineage, the tradition, the greatness that goes with the Crimson Tide, there's no way they're number five. No way. No way. And this, I believe, is the inherent problem with the College Football Playoff Committee. I like this better than computers. I do. I like it better when human beings are assessing something, discussing something, and coming to some type of uniform decision. To me, it's much better than a bunch of bots figuring out the metrics on a team. But here is the inherent disadvantage: human bias. Okay, Alabama found a way to claw its way back into that game on Saturday. But number one, they fell behind by 20 points at home. Number two, they gave up more points at home than any time since 1907. Number three, they made penalties and mistakes and fumbles, very un-Alabama-like. Number four, their defense could not hold down Joe Burrow's. And so what exactly are we granting Alabama as the good part, the great part, the deserving part of being number five? Here's their wins in the non-conference schedule. New Mexico State, Southern Miss. Throw those games out the window. Don't matter. Don't care. Other non-conference games. Duke. You know what Duke is this year? Duke is 4-5. Duke is a losing team in the ACC. In the ACC! So throw that out. Who cares? In the SEC, they have beaten Arkansas. Do you know how bad Arkansas is? Arkansas fired Chad Morris this week after a little bit less than two seasons. Arkansas has lost to multiple Group of Five teams this year. Multiple. Arkansas is 2-8. So throw that out. Okay, now we're talking about Ole Miss. Ole Miss is the second worst team in the SEC West. They're 4-6. In the SEC, they're 2-4. So that means nothing. They've beaten Tennessee. The Vols are 5-5. So what exactly is their best win? Alabama's best victory is over A&M when A&M was ranked at number 24. A&M is no longer ranked. Texas A&M is their best win, and Texas A&M has three losses on the season. Look, if Alabama, with that body of work, was not named Alabama, there's no way they would be number five in the rankings, and they do not deserve to be in the top four, and I don't believe they deserve to be number five either. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. We've got a ton to get to this morning here on the show. Coming up later on in the hour, how about the Evansville Aces, led by Walter McCarty, former Kentucky Wildcat, who was on the 96 team that won the national championship. He was the head coach, is the head coach, last night of the Aces as they pull off an incredible upset, knocking off number one Kentucky at Rupp Arena. How crazy is that? That's by far the worst loss under John Calipari at UK. And Walter McCarty, a former Wildcat, is coaching Evansville to an upset of number one Kentucky at Rupp Arena. We'll hear the final call coming up later on in the hour as part of soundcheck from the Evansville Radio Network, which I'm guessing is not a network, it's just one affiliate. Also, we should play Super Dave's final call coming up as well in soundcheck, as he's the voice of the Winthrop Eagles, and Winthrop got its first win ever against a ranked opponent the other night against St. Mary's in California, and Super Dave does our college football picks every single week. He'll join us tomorrow. So we got some major college basketball upset final calls to grade out coming up here this hour. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we'll get into your phone calls and tweets regarding the college football playoff rankings. Also, baseball. An investigation into the Astros uncovered that Houston, the best team in baseball over the last 3 years, could be the shadiest team in the league. We'll discuss coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Yeah, if you and I could sit and watch the 1978 World Series.
Yes!
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm not sure you'd want to, but if we could, Brian Kenny, I appreciate that. In fact, I'll be joining Brian Kenny and the crew at MLB Now on MLB Network coming up on Mondays. So you can check me out there. We'll talk a little off-season hot stove Major League Baseball on MLB Network coming up on Monday. It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS, and be listening later on to the show when we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. And speaking of baseball, Maybe we'll be talking about the Houston Astros on Monday as well when I join the gang on MLB Now, which we will get to coming up here in just a few moments. Are the Astros the shadiest team in baseball? But our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Steven's in Houston listening to CBS Sports Radio there. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, DA. Beam me up, baby.
You got it, man. What you got?
All right, so I'm going to talk about Alabama and LSU. I need you to weigh in on this for me. So yeah. You got Alabama's at number five. So basically the committee is saying, as long as you win out, you're in the playoffs. And you're probably going to play LSU again. So I think this is a really good opportunity for Alabama to get in and prove that they should have won that game. But it's also an opportunity for LSU to smack down Alabama two times in the same year. Is this fair? Is that something that college football needs? Or, you know, let me flip the script real quick. What if Georgia beats LSU in the SEC title game? Does that keep Bama out of the playoffs?
I don't think that Alabama controls its destiny. I don't think if Alabama wins out, essentially they've only got one other shot to impress the committee, and that is by beating Auburn in the Iron Bowl. I don't think if Alabama wins out, they control their destiny, because they will sit out the SEC championship game, assuming it's LSU and Georgia, and watch on the same week and the same day the Pac-12 championship game. And if it's a one-loss Oregon and a one-loss Utah, I think there's a good chance the winner of that game leaps Alabama. Remember, the Crimson Tide are sitting at home. They can't do anything to help out their resume. And on that same day, if Oregon and Utah remain one loss, they will play one another, and the winner will have a victory over a number 6 or number 7 team, hypothetically, in the rankings. I think that win should push them above. I mean, the way that it sits right now is LSU 1, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, Georgia 4, Bama 5, Oregon and Utah 6 and 7. Georgia, if they get to the SEC title game and loses, falls out of number 4, which might slide Alabama into number 4, where it is right now if they beat Auburn. But you're telling me that another game, a conference championship, over a team that's either ranked number 6 or number 7, shouldn't elevate Oregon or Utah, the Pac-12 winner, over Alabama? I would disagree. That's why I don't think Alabama controls its destiny here. In baseball, The Athletic reports that MLB has dug into the Astros organization following the ugly incident after the ALCS, where Brandon Taubman, their assistant GM, obviously yelled, "So glad we have Osuna, so bleeping glad we signed Osuna," in the face of reporters, female reporters, one of which had a bracelet that was supporting victims of domestic violence. And the whole thing was gross and ugly, and Taubman deserved to get the zig, eventually did. The Astros handled it clumsily. They immediately said fake news, even though it wasn't. The whole thing was a bad look for the Astros. Ultimately, of course, they lose in Game 7 of the World Series. They gag away their 3-2 series lead, losing all of the games at home to the Washington Nationals, and here we are. So baseball dug into this, and the more that they followed strings on the Astros organization, the more that they realized there was some hanky-panky going on. The Astros throughout baseball have been known for pushing the envelope, for finding advantages, maybe a little deviously, in every corner, every nook and cranny. Maybe some of that is in scouting, maybe some of that is in signing, some of that might be in metrics and analytics. In this case, they found sign stealing. And this is something that's gone on in baseball forever. And the idea in baseball is, you can sign steal. You can figure it out on your own. If you can figure out if the pitcher is tipping pitches or what the catcher is putting down, that's fine. You just can't use technology to do it. So cameras, not cool. Apple Watches, not cool. Technology, film, not cool. And this is very much like Spygate in the NFL. The New England Patriots claimed, well, everyone's doing it, stealing signs, stealing defensive signals, defensive coordinators putting up their hand signals, this, that, this, holding up their arms, holding up their fingers. The Patriots are saying everybody's trying to decode that. Okay, we used cameras. And the NFL said, well, you can't use cameras. That's why the Patriots got nipped. In this case, here is what this investigation is revealed, and this is what The Athletic reported. The Astros had a camera set up in center field. It was trained and zoomed in on the catcher. The catcher would put down a sign, fastball, curveball, what have you, and the camera would broadcast this in-house closed circuit to a television monitor on a wall next to the dugout. Not in the dugout, but essentially in the tunnel just outside the dugout. And so in real time, the Astros had a camera feed on the catcher. Now, this is not that crazy, obviously, because you could just watch the television broadcast, but this is actually an in-house feed. And there was a guy. Now, this is great because that's all technology. Flat screen TV, in-house closed circuit television. That feels 2019. Apple Watches. That's what the Red Sox were using apparently a couple of years ago. But then here's really where we go old school. The Astros then have a guy with an empty garbage can next to, in that tunnel, next to the feed, watching the monitor. And bangs the garbage can to let the batter know what's coming. Now, that's pretty remarkable that in 2019 we are banging garbage cans. But you think about it, in a baseball stadium full of screaming fans trying to get a signal to a batter in real time, the batter can't look down the line to the first base coach or the third base coach because he's waiting to stare down the pitch. He's getting an audible sign, a signal, with a garbage can getting smashed a couple of feet away. Banging on a trash can, drumming on a street light. So this is the highly analytic, this is the futuristic front office of the Houston Astros banging on trash cans to let their batters know what is coming. This obviously is against the rules. So the question becomes, just how shady, dirty, below the belt, devious, duplicitous are the Houston Astros? And the answer is, kinda. I mean, look, they're a really good baseball team with a really good baseball organization. And this is not the only reason they win baseball games. Alex Bregman does it himself. Carlos Correa, great player no matter what. Jose Altuve, unbelievable baseball player. Go down the list of guys they've drafted, they've developed, they've hired, they've signed, they've traded for. Justin Verlander, really good baseball player. Was before he got to Houston, becomes a renaissance man now. Gerrit Cole had a lot of talent, goes to Houston, seems to figure out even more about his repertoire and arsenal. There's plenty of guys that are just good baseball players, and that's a good baseball organization, and they've won a lot of games because they're a really good baseball organization. But if you're asking me, do the Astros push the envelope more than anybody else? Yeah, and everybody in baseball knows it. And that's why everybody in baseball laughed and snickered when Taubman got in trouble, is that everybody in baseball thinks they're really arrogant, they push the envelope, they cut corners, they look for every advantage, and some of it is very underhanded. And in this case, they deserve to get punished. I think baseball has to do something. And this is a lot like Spygate. And this is why the New England Patriots and the Houston Astros are winners, is because they will exhaust any and all avenues for any advantage. And in doing so, they'll break some rules. The Patriots have done this for 20 years. They will push every advantage, and you can't have one without the other in my mind. I don't think you could have the Patriots' greatness without having some of the cheating, because they are wired to find every possible competitive advantage. And what do we have? Winners. Winners. It doesn't mean they've always done it on the up and up, but one goes hand in hand. You are wired and convinced of doing things a certain way and will exhaust every and any avenue to have a competitive advantage. I mean, who in the Astros front office is like, okay, I got an idea. Why don't we set up a camera? Okay, we're going to close circuit in-house so that there's no delay. In real time, we'll see what the sign is, and then we have to have an audio signal to the batter. What do we do here? How can we get close enough to the batter? Well, how about we put a chip in his ear? No. Not good enough. Well, how about there's a signal that goes into the batting helmet? No. I got it. How about we bang on a garbage can with a broomstick? That's good. Banging on a trash can. I mean, Doug Funny had this idea 25 years ago. Drumming on a street light. You can't have Spygate. You can't have Deflategate without the Patriots' never-ending thirst for success. It is what makes them great. You can't have the Astros doing every little thing they possibly can to win without having craziness like this. And it's illegal. You can't do it. Baseball says you can't use technology to steal signs, so they should be penalized. They should be fined. But is the baseball version of the Patriots the Astros? Absolutely. And does that make them shady in some regards? Absolutely. Doesn't mean they're not a good organization. They won Game 7 of the World Series on the road, so they didn't have somebody banging on a trash can. They didn't have Doug Funny singing at the street light. Banging on a trash can, drumming on a street light. But, you know, they're going to push and push and push to find the advantage. When we come back here on the show, we've got your best audio of the day, and that includes the final call of Evansville knocking off the number one ranked Kentucky Wildcats at Rupp Arena. We'll listen to the final call and grade it, and listen to Super Dave's final call of Winthrop's big upset over St. Mary's. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
You're gonna get a LeBron as the Terminator. How many different remakes of these movies come out all the time? You're telling me when you get LeBron and he's a muscular dude like that, we're not gonna get him in a Terminator? He will be the Terminator. Within the next decade, you will get a Terminator remix with LeBron as the star. He's already in L.A. It makes too much sense for you guys to mock me.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
That man once applied to Duke University. 42 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Appreciate you being with us every single morning, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. Brand new episode of Nomad is out, my travel series. Mraz and I taking the sights and sounds of the Twin Cities. We ended up going to Minneapolis and St. Paul for the Final Four back in April. We took in a private tour of Target Field. We took in a Minnesota Wild hockey game, and we took in Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. And we ate terribly, highly caloric, very cheesy, very meaty, very salty.
Puffiness with sodium.
Yet delicious dishes. It's all part of this week's episode of Nomad, the most recent episode of Nomad. So check it out on YouTube. I've also posted it on our Twitter page, my Twitter page, and our Facebook page. But on YouTube, easiest way to go and subscribe, just simply go to YouTube and search my name in Nomad, and you'll find the episode, check it out, and subscribe for free for updates for brand new episodes.
Cheese.
Levi tweets, Astros banging trash cans is like the guy in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire coughing and clearing his throat in the audience when his buddy in the hot seat picks the correct answer. Hashtag shady. What would it be like if Jody Mack was the one in the audience of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire who knows the right answer? And he's hoping to help his friend choose the right answer to win thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars.
That's not a lifeline I want.
Lifeline, I'll need to call a lifeline.
He could yell at that answer, his teeth would go flying across the room.
What is the capital of Istanbul? What year did the Plesiozoic era end?
Not to play geography real quick, but isn't Istanbul a capital in itself of Turkey?
Instant replay bowl?
Yeah.
Instant bowl?
You said what the capital of that is.
Did I say the capital of Istanbul?
Yeah.
Tell us the birth date of Grover Alexander.
Bro. Yeah.
Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Saquon Barkley is going to refuse to shut it down for the rest of the season, even though the Giants' year is over and he's still recovering from the high ankle sprain.
The mindset of sitting me out and resting me for the rest of the season is beyond me. I do not agree with it, and it won't happen. I'm going to keep going until I can't go no more, and that's the type of player I am, and I'm going to do that for my teammates.
I will take Bradley.
Look, it is admirable that Saquon Barkley wants to play. Barkley came back from that injury far sooner than most people would have assumed. When Barkley suffered that injury earlier in the season, some people thought he'd be done for the year, certainly for multiple months. He was not. He was back on the field in a couple of weeks. But the Giants season is over, and at 2-8, it has nothing to do with Saquon Barkley. It has nothing, no part about this season is about Saquon Barkley anymore, except for the incredible fact that the coaching staff can't figure out a way to get him regular touches. It is beyond comprehension that Pat Shurmur, supposedly an offensive-minded guy, hasn't been able to figure out how to effectively utilize one of the best young running backs in football. It is beyond comprehension, especially now with a serviceable, if not at times dangerous, pass game with Daniel Jones. I know Jones has been up and down and erratic. I know that he's a rookie and he's looked like a rookie at times this year. I know that Daniel Jones has turned the football over far too many times. But there's also great throws that Jones makes. There's also big touchdown throws that he makes. There's also big plays that he creates. And defenses shouldn't be able to completely lock down Saquon Barkley right now. But Pat Shurmur is a disaster. He's not the right guy for the job. He's not the right guy for the organization. And this year is lost yet again. And the only reason they're probably not going to pull the trigger on Pat Shurmur is because they don't want to give Daniel Jones another head coach and probably another offensive system so early, and because the Giants organization has been burned by all this turnover in the last 5 to 7 years, and they just don't want to do it. They don't want to. But Shurmur's, I mean, he's terrible. Just a terrible, terrible head coach.
Pat!
You got that, Pat?
How about Pat? You realize how important timeouts are, Pat.
Mraz is drinking almond milk with a Special K, Pat. That's because of you, Pat.
Pat!
Here's Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield.
He's got a message for Browns fans.
We're on offense. We needed to be quiet. It might have ruffled some feathers. That's okay. But when we're on offense in a critical down, we need to be able to have silence in our home stadium. It's got to be an advantage for us. And then when they get the ball, it's got to be really loud. It's just, the basis of football.
So Baker Mayfield wants it quieter on offense at home. Thought it was too loud on Sunday. Look, it might have been too loud because there was a lot of Bills fans that came to that game. Buffalo and Cleveland, not very far away. That's an easy drive. And for Bills fans, they get really drunk. They get really loud and really, really drunk.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
So I think Baker needs to just worry about, you know, executing the offense at home, on the road, with noise, with silence, pass play, run play, early in the game, late in the game. I think focusing on the crowd noise of those situations, you know, you just do your job. Just at the end of the day, please, can you just do your job? Last night at Rupp Arena, the Evansville Aces, Missouri Valley Conference, go to Kentucky, go to Lexington against the number one team of the country and led by former Wildcat and now head coach of the Aces, Walter McCarty. Walter McCarty! They pull off the shocking upset.
Sestina looks to inbounds. He throws it into Maxey with 5 seconds. Maxey with 4, 3 seconds. Elevates on a 3. It's an air ball.
Wow.
And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shock college basketball on this Tuesday night. What a win for Coach McCarty in his return to Kentucky.
Wow. That is Evansville Radio Network. I can't believe it's that tame. I can't believe that.
Tessitore would melt down there.
That is the first time, I think, since 93, the number one team in the country has gone down at home against a non-conference opponent. I believe I saw that Kansas in 93 was the last time this happened. Something akin to this. Obviously, the number one team of the country has lost in conference play multiple times, many times, but a situation like this where an unranked non-conference foe early in the season goes to number one and wins. This is the first time this has happened in 25 years. This has got to be the biggest win in Evansville history, I got to think. I know it's November, but Evansville just beat the number one team in the country at Rupp. I got to have more juice than that, Mraz. Let's play this again. I feel like these guys, they'll never get a bigger call. They've got to be melting down.
Sestina looks to inbounds. He throws it into Maxey with 5 seconds. Maxey with 4, 3 seconds. Elevates on a 3. It's an air ball.
Wow.
And the Aces have gone the road to Rupp Arena in Lexington, Kentucky, and stunned the number one Wildcats 67-64. They shot college basketball on this Tuesday night. What a win for Coach McCarty in his return to Kentucky.
I don't know. I got to have meltdown there. I got to have screaming there. I got to have somebody losing their mind and melting down.
It's just disappointing because you can't even play back that call historically and go, wow, what a moment that was. It feels like, who cares?
USA Today called this one of the biggest upsets in college basketball history. College basketball history. Via ESPN, by the way, Kentucky was a 20-point favorite. It's the biggest upset by a point spread in college basketball since 2007. I'm sorry. Since 2 years ago, rather, 2017, when UNC was 25.5-point underdogs. 25.5-point against Wofford. Okay? Wofford. So that was it. But going back to 2007, this is the biggest upset for Kentucky since 2007 against Gardner-Webb. So let's compare this to our very own Super Dave, the voice of the Winthrop Eagles, as they went to St. Mary's 2 nights ago and pulled off the upset.
Free throw up, no good. St. Mary's the rebound. Gales down 2, 5 seconds to go. Jordan Ford drives to the bucket. Floater up, no good. And it's over. Winthrop shocks number 18, St. Mary's.
That's juice.
That's juice. By the way, doesn't even sound like Dave Friedman that we get
right
here.
Friedman when he's on.
Shock St. Mary's!
Friedman on the call doesn't sound like Super Dave. Let's hear Super Dave again in St. Mary's as the Winthrop Eagles pull the upset.
Free throw up, no good. St. Mary's the rebound. Gales down 2, 5 seconds to go. Jordan Ford drives to the bucket. Floater up, no good. And it's over. Winthrop shocks number 18, St. Mary's.
That's juice.
I got to listen to the Bearded Carcast more often now.
That's juice. He's great. Super Dave Freeman is a great play-by-play voice. Great. He might not be great at college football picks. He's great on the play-by-play. Evansville is only the fourth D1 men's program ever to have its first ever road win over an AP-ranked opponent come against the number one team of the country. That is Evansville's first ever road win over a ranked opponent. First ever road win over a ranked opponent comes at Rupp against number one. I need more juice. When we come back here on the show, Solomon Wilcox, Pro Football Focus analyst. We'll talk NFL with him and what he gleaned from the Seahawks and Niners crazy game on Monday night.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.